In 1999, NASA lost $125 million Mars Climate Orbiter.
Yeah, just completely disintegrated.
Disintegrated in the Martian atmosphere.
All right.
And the subsequent investigation revealed that one engineering team was using metric units, while another was using imperial units.
Oh, man.
I know, right? The software itself actually executed perfectly based on the inputs it received, but the process of verifying those inputs was fundamentally broken. So that wasn't just a failure of code. It was a massive failure of methodology.
It really is the ultimate nightmare scenario for, you know, any engineering team. And it highlights this critical reality for anyone building complex systems today.
Absolutely.
I mean, we rely on this intricate software for everything from like aerospace navigation to our personal banking. And ensuring that software doesn't just spectacularly crash and burn well, that requires an incredibly rigorous approach to quality.
Which brings us to our mission for you today. We are doing a deep dive into the source material to demystify this absolute alphabet soup of quality management. Specifically, we're looking at two of the most heavily used and, frankly, heavily confused acronyms in software development, QA and QC, quality assurance and quality control.
Yeah, these two terms are ubiquitous. You'll see them plastered across job descriptions, embedded in project management timelines.
Thrown around in meetings.
Exactly. Thrown around as if they are completely interchangeable. But treating them as synonyms is a major architectural mistake. They actually represent two entirely distinct philosophies of managing quality.
So to truly parse the difference between them, we need to establish the core premise of this deep dive. The sources point out that you only really need to ask yourself one foundational question to untangle this whole web.
Right. And that fundamental question is this. When evaluating a project, where are we putting the focus? Are we focusing on how we do things, or are we focusing on the final result we obtain?
How we build it versus what we get at the end. That single distinction is the absolute key to understanding everything else we're about to discuss today.
It really is. It dictates the tools a team uses, the metrics they track, and just the entire mindset of the engineering floor.
It essentially splits the universe of quality cleanly in half.
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the concept that is probably the most intuitive for you listening right now, the one that focuses squarely on that final result, quality control or QC.
Right, so quality control aligns most closely with our everyday experience as consumers, I think. Its mission is unambiguous. Find the flaws.
Let's find what's broken.
Exactly. Technically speaking, QC is a purely reactive approach. It only steps onto the stage when the product, or at least, you know, a testable increment of that product is actually finished.
It functions as the ultimate gatekeeper.
The last line of defense. Before a new software release reaches the public, QC is the mechanism examining, measuring, and testing that finished result to ensure it actually behaves the way the specs promised it would.
Our sources use a really powerful analogy to make this stick, framing quality control as a detective arriving on the scene.
I love that analogy. The detective only arrives after the crime has been committed.
Right.
And in the realm of software, the crime is the defect. It's the memory leak, the broken API endpoint, the UI glitch.
The detective isn't peering over the programmer's shoulder while they write the code. They show up at the end of the sprint, you know, roll out the yellow police tape, and just start looking for the bodies.
Right, because they're operating after the fact. So the detective's entire focus is on palpable evidence. They aren't interested in the team's workflow or, you know, their communication strategies.
They don't care about your Slack messages.
Not at all. The compiled code, the final application, that is the evidence. And their primary tool for investigating that evidence is rigorous testing.
Let's ground that detective metaphor in technical reality for a second. When we talk about finding the bodies, we aren't just talking about someone manually clicking buttons on a website to see if it crashes.
Right.
We're talking about automated regression suites, aggressive load testing, where they simulate 100,000 users hitting a checkout page simultaneously, or user acceptance testing.
That's a really vital clarification. The detective's toolkit is highly technical. They might use static application security testing to probe for vulnerabilities or end-to-end frameworks that mimic really complex user journeys.
Just hammering the system.
Exactly. But the single unifying objective across all those tools is sniffing out the bugs that managed to survive the development process. They look backward at the tangible build and basically ask, is this broken?
And finding the crime before the customer does is undeniably essential. If you're deploying a software update for, say, a fleet of autonomous vehicles, you absolutely need that detective verifying the braking system logic.
Oh, 100%.
But relying solely on finding the broken code force is a pretty big question. Wouldn't it be vastly more efficient and vastly cheaper to just prevent that code from breaking in the first place.
Which requires a complete and total shift in mentality. You have to abandon the reactive posture entirely.
And that takes us to the other side of the quality coin.
What's fascinating here is how fundamentally quality assurance QA differs from that detective mindset. If QC's mission is finding the flaws, QA's mission is to guarantee those flaws never exist to begin with.
And the key word that flips that switch, transforming the entire approach, is process.
Process, yes. Unlike QC, QA isn't staring at the compiled application. It looks at the overarching system. QA examines the methodologies, the coding standards, and the human procedures used to create the software.
It's analyzing the how and totally ignoring the what.
Exactly. The underlying logic is that a robust, reliable process inevitably breeds a robust, reliable product. If the environment and the methods used to build something are flawless, well, the resulting build will inherently be flawless.
So if QC is the detective arriving after the incident, the counterpart for QA is the architect at the drawing board.
The architect, yes. They operate with a purely preventative, forward-looking mindset. They're designing the structural integrity of the system from day one.
They don't wait for the roof to cave in to document a defect.
Right. They mandate load-bearing calculations in the blueprints so a collapse is mathematically impossible.
So let's map that architect analogy to an actual engineering floor. Because we aren't just talking about vague best practices here. An architect's blueprint in software means establishing strict continuous integration and continuous deployment pipelines.
Yep, CI/CD.
It means mandating that no code can be merged into the main branch without passing automated linting and, say, a peer review from at least two senior developers.
Those protocols are the load-bearing walls. They are the mechanisms of quality assurance.
Let me push back on how this is actually implemented in corporate structures, though. A lot of enterprise companies have a siloed QA department or a specific QA team. So if QA is about defining the entire system's workflow, does that mean there's a group of isolated QA architects sitting in a corner office dictating how the software engineers are allowed to type?
See, our sources attack that misconception head on. Treating QA as the isolated job of a single department is a critical failure pattern.
Really?
Absolutely. Because QA centers on implementing good practices and continuous improvement of the work environment itself, it absolutely must be the responsibility of the entire team.
Oh, because a siloed QA department creates a scenario where developers just throw messy code over a wall, assuming the QA team will clean it up.
Exactly. And that is essentially devolves QA back into reactive QC. It's precisely the danger. If the developers aren't actively practicing pair programming, or if the product managers are writing vague, untestable requirements, you don't have quality assurance.
You just have a theoretical blueprint gathering dust.
You do. True QA demands that the coders, the designers, and the managers are all collectively committed to the preventative procedures.
Okay, let's lock in the distinction before we explore how these two operate in the wild. QA is the architect. It's forward-looking, preventative, focused entirely on the how, and driven by the whole team improving the process.
Right.
Conversely, QC is the detective. It's backward-looking, corrective, focused on the what, and driven by testing the final product for immediate defects.
The theory is mathematically clean. Process versus product.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because improving the process sounds incredibly abstract. How does this theoretical division actually translate to the chaotic daily reality of a software development cycle?
The source material grounds this beautifully by analyzing two highly concrete real-world frameworks. Let's look at a textbook example of QA in action. A team implementing the Scrum methodology.
Wait, Scrum? Scrum is usually categorized purely as agile project management. People see it as a velocity tool, you know, a way to ship features faster.
Right.
They think of daily stand-ups and sprint planning. How does the source material justify framing project management rituals as quality assurance?
It seems like a stretch until you apply our foundational question. Does Scrum focus on the final result or the process? Scrum is pure QA because it is entirely agnostic about the product itself.
It doesn't care if you're programming a social media feed or the firmware for a pacemaker.
Not in the slightest. What Scrum does is define a rigorous architectural workflow. It establishes specific roles, it mandates ceremonies like the daily stand-up or the sprint retrospective, and it sets strict boundaries around how work is accepted.
Huh.
The sole purpose of that structure is to continuously improve how the team collaborates.
So to trace that back to bug prevention, if developer A is changing a database schema and developer B is relying on the old schema for their API endpoint, a daily stand-up forces them to communicate that dependency before anyone writes conflicting code.
That is the essence of QA. By forcing daily synchronization and breaking work into manageable two-week sprints, the methodology structurally prevents the chaotic miscommunications that breed software defects.
Wow.
You aren't testing for bugs. You are organizing the human beings in a way that makes writing a bug highly difficult. It is the architect laying down the rules of the construction site.
Viewing a daily stand-up meeting as a literal bug prevention mechanism completely changes how you value that 15 minutes of your morning.
It really does.
Okay, so if Scrum is our preventative architectural QA framework, what is the concrete example for the detective's QC?
The flip side is adoptting a standard like ISO 25000.
And for listeners who might not be deep into international engineering compliance, ISO 25000 is a series of standards specifically designed to evaluate software product quality.
Yes. And the critical distinction here is that ISO 25000 does not dictate your workflow. It does not care if you use Scrum or Kanban or if you write your code on a beach.
It has zero interest in your daily stand-up.
Zero. Instead, those norms provide a highly rigorous mathematical framework to evaluate the final product. It defines specific metrics for performance efficiency, compatibility, security, and reliability.
So while Scrum dictates how the team communicates, ISO 25000 is the detective's magnifying glass, demanding proof that the software can handle a specific transaction throughput without degrading. It evaluates the tangible evidence.
It is a pure measurement of the what, totally divorced from the how.
So we have the architect designing the workflow with frameworks like Scrum, and the detective measuring the final evidence with standards like ISO 25000. This brings up an inevitable question, one that is practically baked into the title of our deep dive today. QA versus QC. If a tech company has a limited budget, which philosophy should they prioritize?
Framing it as a choice is the trap. The phrase QA versus QC implies a battle for resources, but you cannot choose one over the other.
Because it's not a competition.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we hit the central revelation of this entire analysis. They are not competing ideologies. They are two halves of a continuous symbiotic feedback loop. They desperately need each other to function.
Walk us through the mechanics of that loop. On the surface, the architect and the detective operate on completely different timelines.
Right.
One is drafting blueprints before the foundation is poured, and the other is inspecting the finished drywall. How do they actually interact?
Let's trace a technical scenario to see the loop in action. Imagine a team finishes a sprint and deploys a new e-commerce checkout flow to a staging environment. The product goes to the QC team, the detectives.
Yeah.
They run an automated stress test and trigger a race condition where a user's payment is processed, but their cart isn't emptied.
The detective found the body.
Mm.
Pure quality control.
Right. Now, a dysfunctional team will just patch that specific race condition and move on. They empty the bucket under the leaky roof and ignore the shingles.
Which guarantees the roof will leak again during the next storm.
Exactly why the vital next step is root cause analysis. The team has to ask why the defect bypassed their defenses. Was it a failure in the peer review process? Did the local development environments lack a proper database replica to test concurrency? Did the product requirements fail to specify state handling during payment latency?
So they use techniques like the five whys to drill down past the broken code and figure out the motive behind the crime.
And once the detective isolates that motive, they hand the findings directly to the architect. That root cause analysis feeds back into QA.
The team takes that data and modifies their actual process. They might update their pull request templates to mandate a concurrency check, or add a new phase to their Scrum planning to specifically discuss state handling.
They alter the structural workflow so that specific category of failure becomes procedurally impossible in the future.
The source notes phrase this relationship perfectly, stating that the findings of QC are literally the motor of QA.
They are the engine driving continuous improvement. QA cannot improve the process in a vacuum. Without QC, QA is just guessing at theoretical bottlenecks.
It's just blind theory.
Right. QC provides the hard empirical data, the reality check, that tells QA exactly where the methodology is breaking down.
So what does this all mean? we've navigated from the alphabet soup of acronyms to the interplay between process and product, examining how Scrum meetings and ISO standards function as entirely different tools. But what is the takeaway for you, the listener, regarding how true quality is actually forged?
The takeaway is that attempting to achieve quality without both halves of this equation is a recipe for catastrophic failure. The source material drives this home with two brilliant dueling analogies that highlight the danger of imbalance.
Let's look at the first extreme. Imagine a company completely ignores QA methodologies and pours all their funding into a massive QC testing department.
Relying solely on QC is like employing an elite world-class team of firefighters, but refusing to install a single smoke detector or sprinkler system in your building.
Oh, wow. You become incredibly efficient at putting out production fires, but your servers are constantly bursting into flames.
Yeah.
Your engineers are perpetually exhausted, constantly reacting to the latest crisis, finding bugs only after they've already derailed the release schedule.
It's an unsustainable culture of heroics. Now, consider the reverse. What if a company obsesses over QA, spending months perfecting their agile workflows and coding guidelines, but they neglect QC testing?
Relying only on QA is like possessing a mathematically perfect architectural blueprint, but never bothering to hire a building inspector to check the actual construction site.
Exactly. You're operating on the blind assumption that reality will perfectly match your theory. And the moment an unpredictable variable hits, say, a third-party API goes down, or a user interacts with the app in a bizarre way, the system collapses because you never verified the tangible build.
True. Sustainable quality only emerges when the architect and the detective operate in tandem, when the forward-looking prevention of QA is constantly refined and informed by the backward-looking verification of QC.
It's an interconnected ecosystem.
Firefighters and smoke detectors, blueprints and building inspectors. It strips away the corporate jargon and reveals the actual mechanics of quality. But this symbiotic feedback loop we've just mapped out, it raises a rather unexpected question about what really holds this ecosystem together.
It leads to a pretty profound realization about the nature of engineering. We've established that QA is the responsibility of the collective team, heavily reliant on communication frameworks like Scrum. And we've detailed how QC's highest purpose isn't just patching code, but uncovering root causes to improve that collective workflow.
The entire system is built on finding mistakes, admitting those mistakes, and collaboratively changing human behavior to prevent them.
Which means the ultimate tool for achieving flawless software isn't an automated testing suite, and it isn't an international ISO standard. The linchpin of this entire operation is psychological safety.
Oh, that's interesting.
If a team lacks the willingness to communicate honestly about their own errors, the detective will hide the evidence, the architect will refuse to update the blueprints, and the feedback loop shatters.
From compiling thousands of lines of code to the raw psychology of human honesty, it turns out the foundation of technical perfection is incredibly human, something for you to explore on your own as you think about your own team's workflows. Next time you expect a piece of technology to work flawlessly, remember the architect designing the process, the detective measuring the result, and the incredible human coordination required to keep the ecosystem alive.